Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in the 32nd Psalm, and I think we looked at the first five or six verses in the previous episode. Let me go back and read those very quickly, set the context for us, and then we'll press on with the balance of the Psalm. In the first verse, David says this. Remember, this is a maskil. We don't know what that means, but it's a maskil of David. And he says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of summer." Selah. Verse 5. "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Selah. So that's what we covered in the previous episode. The very next word is therefore. That's the reason I wanted to read context, where we can see the therefore part, right? So the psalmist David is reaching a point of a conclusion here. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him." So he's encouraging everybody. Who is everybody? The godly, to offer prayers at the Lord when he can be found. It's not that God's playing hide and seek or anything like that, but he's saying, don't do what I do. You know, seek forgiveness now. Don't wait. And then surely the rush of great waters will not reach him. If there is a flood of many waters that breaks forth, you'll be protected if you'll turn to the Lord. Then verse 7, "You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." And then Selah. So that's the third Selah that we've seen in this psalm. Think about these things. The lexicon says, "You are my hiding place. From trouble you preserve me. With cries of deliverance you surround me." The New American Standard says songs of deliverance, as does the KJV. So the idea being that there's songs of deliverance that surround us, and the Lord's going to rescue us and preserve us. He's going to surround us with these shouts of deliverance. It's interesting, isn't it? Verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Well, hang on a second. Who is the eye and who is he speaking to? Well, we just heard, "You surround me with shouts of deliverance, Selah." Well, then in verse 8 and 9, it turns and it's the Lord speaking, apparently. It's the Lord responding to the psalmist. So what does the Lord say? Verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Then this, "Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and a bridle, or will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." So apparently in the 8th and 9th verse, it's the Lord that's responding. And he's saying, you know, "I'm going to instruct you. I will instruct you. I will teach you. And I'll teach you in the way that you should go." Is that not a cry that we have? Lord, show us which way to go. Show us what it is that you desire. He says, "I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I will guide you." Another translation, "I will advise you with my eye upon you." He keeps his eyes upon us, folks. And he'll instruct, and he'll teach, and he'll counsel if we allow, if we are seeking him, if we are, as described here in verse 6, one of the godly ones. The Lord has promised to do that. But then it's actually sort of humorous. He says, don't be like a horse. Don't be like a mule without understanding, which tells us that horses and mules don't have understanding, which must be curved with bit and bridle, or it will not stay with you. He says, don't do that. Don't be the type of animal that has to have the trappings of a bit and a bridle, or has to be restrained and under restraint. Don't do that. And in the close, the psalmist picks up and says, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. So again, this thing we've seen all the way through this psalm of like a twofold idea. The wicked have sorrows. Those who trust in the Lord have steadfast love. How do you have steadfast love? Surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You want guaranteed sorrows? Yeah, be wicked. And then he closes the psalm out with really a declaration, a proclamation, a call. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright of heart. So he's talking to those who are righteous. He's talking to those who are upright in heart, and he tells us what to do. Be glad. Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice. Shout for joy. I don't know. I think if you went in most of the Western church today, you would think that righteousness and joy and faith and belief were the most sour, dour, somber things in the world. There's very little shouting to the Lord. There's actually very little rejoicing. I mean, true rejoicing. Very little of it. Well, why is that? Well, probably pride mixed with fear. Okay, we're really more fearful of what people will think. And we really haven't had it modeled for us. And we haven't done it as a pattern and practice of behavior. So why don't we do this? Why don't we choose joy? Choose to be glad in the Lord and rejoice in Him. Shout for joy. Walk in uprightness of heart. Let's see what the Lord does. Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.